Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. My friends, this is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado. Also, a pastor and a father of five. Just come out of our Canada Homeschooling Conference over last weekend. The Shelter Reform Church in Edmonton sponsored the conference, thanks to Pastor Bob Hackett and all the other guys. Many of the roots of homeschooling in Canada began right there in Alberta. And Dave, now 50,000 homeschoolers in Canada, which means they've got the beginnings of something there, but a really strong sense that, man, our backs are against the wall. Christianity virtually dead in Europe. Humanism dominates there. Canada's probably got about a 4% chance of salvaging the faith and freedom for the next generation. We've got about, I'd say, 7, 8% chance. But, Dave, you know, things are really rough, and a lot of these guys are really sensitive to that. In fact, up there, they have a hard time finding anybody to vote for at all. We complain about our choices. Imagine being in Canada where everybody's pro-socialist, pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, and occasionally a Christian Heritage Party guy runs, but they say he never wins. And so a lot of these guys just don't vote.
Well, and of course, it's against the law to speak your faith publicly if you're against things like homosexuality. In Canada, you can get arrested for that.
Dave, spanking is illegal there. Now, I used a few illustrations, of course, referring to a corporal discipline. I think I even quoted
spanking's
the Proverbs.
Spanking's illegal in
Spanking's illegal in Canada.
Now, that's amazing to me because Canada is known for a rough-and-tumble form of hockey where there's a lot of spanking, well, fighting, that goes on as part of the game. But you can't do it with your children. You can only do it in the game.
I guess so. I guess so. But these guys are standing strong. Praise God. There's a movement of godly Christians who are willing to root their thoughts and their ideas and their ethics in the Word of God. Dave, I mean, this is the beginning of something very important. And as Pastor Bob said, either God will win either by few or by many. Who cares? He's going to win.
Well, and if the movement gets pushed underground, we have a precedent in history where the underground movement is the beginning of a huge and vibrant church. I think back to what happened in Rome when the Christianity was pushed literally underground into the catacombs, and that was a strong faith that endured many persecutions and ended up transforming really the whole world, not just Western Europe.
Things have never been better, folks, for the minority, for the remnant. We are outrageously optimistic on the prospects of what is happening in it with our movement. Of course, humanism dying, existentialism dying out, of course it will. It always does. Man's systems come down, but we've got the seeds of something that will last, I believe, by the Word of God, by planting the Word of God in the hearts of our families. Well, folks, now I want to take a look at politics, and we're going to look specifically at education funding because education's a big issue in this election. Dave, I don't know if you knew that, well, now 10 states have announced cuts in K-12 funding, while another 16 are cutting funds for higher education. Apparently, schools right now are $48 billion in the red. Therefore, with this upcoming election, you've got education in the spotlight. With lots and lots of statewide ballots, we've had them in Colorado. We're going to get them, I think, all over the United States. They're going to want to increase funding for schools, even in the midst of the economic demise we're facing right now.
Yeah, I think you should call it education bailouts. That's what it is. It's a bailout of the education system. But instead of at the federal level, mandated by the president and Congress and a bill rushed through, we actually get to choose on this one. But here, I'm not real hopeful. And that's because the people who are voting are people who were educated in these socialist schools.
And this is from edweek.org. Education issues are poised to break through the din of presidential politics, economic anxiety in more than a dozen states next month as voters confront ballot questions and constitutional amendments involving K-12 policy and school finance. High on the list are gambling referendums in six states, Arkansas, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, Missouri, and Oregon, that would either create new revenue sources for public schools or alter the flow of gambling-related money earmarked for education.
I think that's great. All right. You gamble on education. Gambling on education. I think that's great.
Exactly.
At least we've come to grips with what's really going on here.
You're bringing your greed and your socialism together into a package here. Hey, you get one sin, play off another sin, you're doing okay.
If we could just get those people at the poker tables and the blackjack tables to support education, we could fix everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
We're seeing all kinds of tax increase proposals on the ballot here in Colorado. Dave, I think the largest tax increases on the ballot this year. Can you imagine people voting for tax increases in the middle of this economic debacle we're in right now?
I think they will if they believe the state is their savior, that is the Messiah. If they believe the state can save Wall Street, if they believe the state can save healthcare, if they believe the state can save education, they will give all their power to the state. And the only reason they would do that is because the state educated them.
Exactly. And that, my friends, is what solidifies socialism in your future. Yes, the public schools. That will guarantee big government tyranny for generations to come. We're going to talk about defunding public schools. Next on Generations, we think that's a great idea. What do we do with these school buildings? We're going to talk about that in just a moment on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Back on Generations, friends. This is Kevin Swanson with you. Mike Side today, broadcasting from my studios in Elbert County, Colorado. Dave Buhner also with me. And Dave, you already have voted here in the Colorado elections, and there are a number of referendums, as always, on the ballot, and some good ones, some bad ones.
Yeah, we can in Colorado, we can vote early. Acorn tells me I can vote often, but so far I've only voted once.
Well, good for you, Dave. Good for you. Some integrity there. Well, Dave, you know, a lot of tax increases, as we mentioned, in this ballot. You've got the largest tax increase ever in the history of Colorado in Amendment 59. Amendment 59 makes a five-year tax increase of the Referendum C permanent. Referendum C is costing the taxpayers over $6 billion in Colorado, and of course we all voted for that. I don't know. Will they make this thing permanent? Depends on, I suppose, whether or not they're thinking socialistic or whether they've been properly educated in the socialist schools.
Well, again, it comes down to whether or not they think the government is their savior, whether or not the government can solve all their problems, or whether or not the government is the problem. Do we want responsible government, or do we want big, irresponsible government? That's the question.
Here's a good one, Dave. This is, again, a referendum for the 2008 elections in Colorado. Amendment 58, increase the taxes on oil and gas industry.
Yeah, that's good, because we'd like to chase them out of the state altogether, because they only provide jobs and taxes, you know, but they do it at the expense of hurting Iraq.
Yeah, and plus oil prices are still a little too low. We have not been paying enough for our gas in the state.
If we don't get tune-ups and inflate our tires, we could deal with that price increase.
Well, that's true.
I hear that from
that was Brock,
a good authority.
That was Brock, yeah.
Chicago.
Sure, okay. Here, Amendment 57 allows an injured employee to sue an employer for compensation above and beyond workman's compensation benefits. What did you do on that one, Dave?
I actually voted for private property rights. And I don't believe that the employee owns his job. Yeah. I believe that the employer owns the opportunity for somebody to work for him. So I think that the employer actually is the one who gets to call the shots. I'm all for the employer and the employee negotiating and coming into a fair and equitable agreement. Uh-huh. But I don't think that agreement ought to be stipulated by the state.
Sure. So you're a freedom-minded individual. Now, here, Amendment 55, Dave, interesting, prohibits a private employer from firing an employee without specific cause. there, it's going to make it more difficult to fire anybody.
It'll make it much more difficult to get hired.
Right, exactly. Right. So the goal here is to eliminate any form of employment in the state of Colorado.
Right. I think that bill was actually written by the temp agencies because they're the ones who stand to gain the most.
Exactly.
Because nobody will hire anybody if they can't fire them. I mean, come on. It's easier to get a divorce in Colorado than to fire an employee?
Yeah. Well, also, you got Amendment 48, which is the good one, defines an infant, an unborn infant, as a person, which, I mean, that's about as basic as you can get. And we have backed that amendment with many, many broadcasts in the past. We hope that that one will pass. And actually, that may be a very, very significant moment in Colorado history if that thing passes.
It may be. Again, you know, we want to go back to the law of God. We want to honor all of the commandments, including thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. Basically, if you're guided by thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet, your ballot will be pretty much filled out at the end of the day.
But, Dave, let's get back to this education funding thing, because really education is very much the heart of the beast, as you mentioned. You know, you got $800 billion a year funding American education. That is a tremendous amount of money behind the public schools and the socialist form of education that many of our children are being educated under.
Well, what it is it's a system in which we try and grab the young minds and steer them in a certain socialist direction. And I say that because that is the direction of the public schools. The public schools themselves are a socialist institution. They take from Peter in order to educate Paul, in order that Paul might become the next Peter, to educate the next Paul. And we have a system that perpetuates itself, because when you are put in the nursery of socialism, you end up being somewhat socialist. No matter what else you learn, you spend 10, 12 years of your life in a socialist nursery, you're going to be a socialist.
And Dave, with $600 billion funding public education each year, that's a lot of money behind a system that for the most part opposes what we're doing. I mean, you interview public school administrators, teachers, not all of them, but I'd say 90% of public school administrators and teachers oppose the principles of freedom that we talk about on this program each and every day. They don't want us to have the freedom to homeschool. I think 95%, I read a survey that 95% of public school administrators believe that any form of education is better than homeschooling. And 100% of them said that homeschooling was not regulated enough. These guys want to do everything that they can to bring homeschoolers under the purview of public school administrators, because they are already part of that monopoly. It is a state-funded monopoly, my friends, a $600 to $800 billion monopoly. I'm telling you, I think that the public schools are an enemy to freedom. By definition, they're an enemy to freedom. That's why, for the most part, those who lead the movement, now, not all of them, please, if you're a public school teacher, don't write in and say, I'm an exception, because I know you're an exception. I know there are exceptions to this. But for the most part, the public school administrators are the ones who are the chief lobbyists against homeschool freedoms and private school freedoms, and the lobbyists to encourage an increase in tax rates and the devaluation of freedom in this country.
Kevin, I don't think that goes far enough. What it is a state-funded religion. It is a religious system. It is both the practice and the prohibition of another religion, Christianity, because you can't teach the fear of God there. You can't say that's the beginning of knowledge. You must teach a secular view of knowledge, which is a part of a religious system. It is a state-funded religion. It's a clear violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution, but we can't do anything about it because those who would do about it are educated in that false religion.
Let's be very clear here, folks. If you have at some point got to the point where you embrace freedom, where you want to be free, you want your children free, you want to be free to make your own choices in education, you want to be free from the burden of heavy-duty taxation, you don't want government intrusion in every aspect of your life, then you have got to join the ranks of those who are deadly opposed to the public schools as the most dangerous element to any kind of a free country. Ladies and gentlemen, $600 billion is spent by these socialists on these socialist schools, and this effectively creates the system by which we guarantee a socialist future for this nation. These are the people that will wind up funding the election of our next legislators, our next executive branch, those that effectively control this nation. When you have 51% of American people on the dole that is paid for by government, you know they're going to vote government. And Dave, I think this may be the most dangerous part of the public schools, is that the public school teachers themselves are on the public dole. So why would they ever oppose an increase to taxation, these increases to education funding around America? What public school teacher in his right mind would oppose that, except for an occasional conservative Christian who is in the system but effectively opposes the system?
Well, not only is their salary coming from that tax base, their livelihood coming from that tax base, but the fact that they're public school teachers tells you a little bit about their makeup. In other words, they went through the socialist system, and they want to perpetuate the socialist system. They're drawn to a career of perpetuating a socialist system. You don't have public school teachers talking about the importance of the family, by and large. And there may be one or two out there, but by and large, what they're doing is they're telling you about how important it is to raise your hand, to stand in line, to be quiet, all those good things that train a nice socialist shepherd.
Ladies and gentlemen, the public schools, the most dangerous force against freedom, and will be unless they are defunded. This is absolutely essential for any right-minded Republican, conservative, Christian person who actually embraces the concept of small government and freedom from massive tyrannical government. You've got to get behind a movement to defund the public schools. Dave, this is as basic as a position as anybody ought to maintain. I think it's almost as basic as the pro-life position. You have got to be opposed to any public school funding if you believe in freedom, my friends. Well, public schools, the number one purveyor of socialism, the number one purveyor. This is the only way you can guarantee a socialist future for America. Well, also, public schools are the number one purveyor of evolution, Dave. Think about it. Would evolution be anywhere near as popular and as powerful as it is but for the public schools? Now, again, there are some teachers out there in the public schools that stand for creation and occasionally will pass out Bibles and witness to their students and give an education in the fear of God. I'm not speaking to those. I'm speaking about to the 95-98% of teachers that effectively get behind the evolutionary system, the materialistic, naturalistic worldview that is pervaded by the humanists. And the schools are supposed to be secular humanists. That's their religion. That's their worldview. And if that's their worldview, of course they're going to teach evolution. Humanism has the ultimate say. Man is God in the public schools. Man is the source of his own truth. Man is the source of his own ethics.
And yet another argument why the public schools are, in fact, a religious institution. There cannot be neutrality in a religious system. And to say that the Establishment Clause says that you can't teach any religion means that you will teach a religion of humanism. That is, you'll teach a religion to the exclusion of Christianity, to the exclusion of Judaism. And you end up teaching a religion where God is not present, and if God is not present, origins must be explained without God, and the answer they've come to in their religion is, of course, Darwinistic evolution.
So, my friends, why do we live in a nation that does not fear God? Why do we have politicians that don't fear God? Why do we have people everywhere who don't understand the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, even when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why? Because the public schools for the last 100 years have refused to teach that the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in those classrooms that are supposed to be purveying wisdom and knowledge is not the fear of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, the number one most powerful influence in our society that is establishing a secular nation, a socialist nation, an evolutionary, naturalistic, materialistic nation, the number one purveyor of homosexuality is the public schools. Dave, again, I do not think that we would have the rise in homosexuality had it not been for the public schools. I think of the surveys that look at how many people support homosexual marriage, only 49%. That is, it's right there on the, you know, on the pivot right now. So 49% of Americans support public school, but anybody under 35 years of age, it's 65 to 70% support homosexual marriage. Why? Because they have been properly educated in the public schools to believe in ethical neutrality and that homosexuality is a normative lifestyle. And if they've been taught that for the last 15 years out of their lives, then of course they're going to vote for homosexual marriage. The homosexual marriage battle was already won in the public school classrooms. Why? Because of $600 billion of public school funding, my friends, coming out of your pockets, out of your tax monies, to support these ideas that we find abhorrent.
Kevin, it's the foundation for this was laid generations ago. What happens in the public school is because the public school becomes the child's nurturer and authority, they start to separate them from the family jurisdiction. We saw in the 60s that there was a radical shift away from mom and dad's authority. And that was, you know, to the self-authority or to the authority of the school. What happens with a homosexual, of course, and studies have shown this, and sociologists will report this, that it is a breakdown of the parental-child relationship, particularly of the father. When the father doesn't have a relationship with his son is far, far more likely to become a homosexual. So as we break the fifth commandment here, which is honor of our mother and father, we end up in all kinds of sexual sin, including fornication rates, that are through the roof. I mean, finding a high school graduate who is a virgin is almost like finding a needle in the haystack anymore. But it doesn't end there, because then the wisdom of mom and dad aren't passed down, of grandpa and grandma. And before you know it, you have people making stupid financial decisions and Wall Street collapsing, all because we put them in this socialist school, we separated them, we broke the fifth commandment while we were breaking the eighth commandment, while we were breaking the tenth commandment. And on it goes. We have a religious system that is opposed, absolutely opposed to the law of God.
Folks, the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of morality, the breakdown of the economy, the breakdown of educational excellence, the breakdown of a biblical worldview, the idea of the fear of God in society, all of this, I think, directly attributable to the public schools in America, thanks to your $600 billion and all the tax increases that y'all have voted for the last 100 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about restoring some biblical values in our lives. And I think it begins with the hearts of fathers turning towards their own children. And I think, Dave, also paying for your own children's education. I mean, what kind of message do you send to your kid when you say, hey, your neighbor's going to pay for your food and your education now? What kind of message do you send when you want to get your neighbor to pay for the education of your children, so you go and you take a baseball bat over to his house and start beating on him and his kids until he gives you enough money to fund your own children's education? What kind of a message do you send home when you rely on the funding of others or just the government threatening your neighbor with imprisonment unless he pays taxes to pay for the education of your children? What kind of message do we send home to our children when we're not willing to take responsibility for our own children's education and we wind up using a socialist system to pay for it?
Well, and it's even worse than that. Not only do we go to our neighbor with a baseball bat and threaten to bludgeon him if he doesn't pay, but then the government comes to your house and threatens you and to bludgeon you unless you send your kids to that school. So the system is both taking the jurisdiction of the children away from the parents, and it's stealing money, a clear violation of the Eighth and the Fifth Commandment, in my opinion. But we do it at a system level, and a level which people seem to be eager to enforce with money, with payment. You know, it doesn't cost that much to educate a child. I mean, it does in the socialist system, but it really doesn't cost that much to educate a child if you do it the private way, the homeschool way, the way in which parents really, it costs them a lot of love and sacrifice, but not a lot of cash.
All right, folks, we've got to wrap up the show now. We're clean out of time, but we're talking about real solutions here, my friends. And the best thing you can do in the November elections is to vote against all of the school tax increases. Please vote no on the school tax increases. Vote for the Eighth Commandment. Vote for the Fifth Commandment. And I think you're going to wind up with a better country for that. And ladies and gentlemen, just talking about the most practical issues, ways in which we can restore the faith, the family, and freedom, things that are disappearing in our generation. We're doing this because we want to salvage something for our children. Dave, it's ironic that most of these school ballots talk about it being for the children. No, that's not for the children. That's breaking God's commandments. And we actually want to do something different for the children. We want parents to love their own children enough to disciple their children in the ways of God. And that's God's commandment from Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6:4. No way of getting around doing that, my friends. So let's do it for the children. Let's vote no on all school tax increases for the children. And let's also do it for God. Folks, if you would like to interact with our radio show, please do so by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. Also, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, reminding you to tune in again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.